The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment. Today's guest hails from Los Angeles, California. He's an artist, songwriter, and a producer. He's a Pisces. He has hazel eyes, brown hair. He's 5'7". He's from Irish-Italian descent. He's afraid of spiders. His weakness is lactose, and he would one day like to ride a mechanical bull. Please welcome today's guest, Connor Musara.
What's up? What's up, man?
What's up, brother?
Round two.
I fucked up the last one. It's happened before. Never like that, but I guess there's a first time for everything. Thank you coming back. I appreciate you.
That's artistry. Sometimes you got to do it again.
Absolutely.
You got to do a retake.
You were so cool about it. I was freaking out just because I was...
Understandable. I would be freaking out too, honestly.
This shit matters so much to me and these conversations. And I just wanted to go right. But I'm thankful that it was somebody who's as close to this world as possible.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing I know in making things, especially with this much technology around, is everything is going to go wrong. So it's all good.
One of the things I realized about working in like big studios, especially as an intern, is you realize that the microphone doesn't work the first time anywhere. There's always something wrong. Yeah. And it's just kind of is what it is.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter like how big of a studio, how famous the engineer, there's always some crazy thing going completely wrong.
Crazy, and it's gonna be another loud, fun podcast though. And let's kind of go over the first part of it too. I said it in the last podcast, but I found on your website, your MySpace, you had like a MySpace interview pretty much as the bio of your website.
So in 2019, when I sort of came back to being an artist, the first song that I put out was called MySpace, and I thought it would be funny to make my actual bio on my website, like the bio.
It was unreal.
From MySpace, or like the, it used to be on MySpace. Were you ever on MySpace?
I mean, I think I was on for a second, but not with really understanding what I was doing.
Got you. Yeah. There was like, there would be these like, viral before viral things where it was like these quizzes and like weird things that you would fill out about yourself, or like, I don't know, all these things that would just be like copy and pasted and edited a million times over and sent around. It was like the weirdest thing. But that, yeah, one of those things was like this bio thing,
which is how I found out that you have you had green Vans, you're afraid of spiders, lactose doesn't sit right.
Yeah.
All the above. I feel like I knew you just from reading that.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like somebody reading that is going to get a lot more about me. They're going to know a lot more about me than reading like a perfectly nice, like PR.
It also like people read through that bullshit. It was cool for a bit. And it's just, it's not the Paris Hilton days anymore. You don't have to have this like PR written sort of, I don't know, fake introduction of who you are.
No one cares.
No, nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody gives a shit. Yeah.
So to get back into why you're here, you're coming out with an album.
That's right. And yeah. January 20th.
Fuck yeah.
Zero Hit Wonder comes out. It's a 16 track album. Well, 15 songs, one interlude. Mm. And it's honestly kind of a long time coming. It's a bunch of, It's a collection of extended versions of, so I did a song a day for an entire year, and I still have so many of those that haven't been officially put out. So most of these on this album are just ideas that were posted in that song a day process. It's crazy.
What a fucking wild experience, my bad. What a wild experience of making a song every day. And again, I mean, we talked about this last time, but The experience of making a song in general is normally stopped and has like the biggest stump point that 90% of the people I talk to have is finishing it. It's like getting the idea so much easier than it is finishing the idea. Was there like, what was the impetus to doing a song a day, and how did you kind of get over that roadblock?
Well, I mean, I've talked about this a bit before in other interviews, but I think the main thing was just the fact that I knew that there were two things that needed to happen. One, I needed people to know that I'm an artist and know that beyond just me being a producer, like I write songs, I do all of this myself. I needed people to know that within 2 seconds. And two, I needed to push past the fear of failure.
Hmm.
That was honestly, that was the main thing I got out of it, honestly.
So it was almost out of necessity. It was like this, you saw something that you felt was going to be, was going to hinder you from getting where you wanted to go almost. And like yes. your prescription towards that was making a song every single day. And yeah. not just making a song. You're making this on the spot, or at least in those moments.
Yeah.
You're filming it on your own and you're editing it on your own and still getting it out in time.
Yeah.
While still being a human being, a friend, and a producer who's making music for other people at the same fucking time.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was absolute torture, but it was the best thing I've ever done.
Could you see yourself doing it again?
Not unless there was an insane bag.
Mm. Understandable. That's a full-time job just in that section of it, let alone paying the bills and being a human being outside of social media.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly thought about doing it again and trying to pitch this. If there's any, you know, people from HBO or whatever, I thought about pitching a TV show where it just follows me doing it again.
That'd be insane.
But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot easier ways to achieve a similar thing, you know?
Yeah.
Showing the creative process.
But I feel like showing the creative process is one thing, and there's versions of that that have been done and that'll be done. But
yeah.
The way you're going about it is it's past just being creative. It's being creative nonstop. It's also when you're not creative, how do I pretend like I am? Yes. Nobody can be creative 150% of the time. What did you do when there was days when you were just like, I don't know what the fuck to do?
Yeah, I mean, most days were like that. I didn't know. I was just grasping at straws, you know, going deep into inspiration in almost random ways on purpose, like starting from a random point or just freestyling or something, doing something random on purpose to just spark something. Anything to get me out of just doing something predictable. I would rather somebody think that I suck than them think that I'm predictable.
Mm. Damn, that's so interesting. I feel like that also, though, that's not an ego thing. That's like a musicality thing. That's being an artist. There's ego where you want them to like you. There's being in love with your craft, where yeah. if you're creating what people have already done or what feels, you know, mundane, regular, then that's how you fail.
Yes.
Were you always like that? Or did you get to a point where you felt like you're kind of making things based off of what other people wanted and you had to make this shift?
I think it comes in waves. Growing up as a kid and just discovering how to make music and play instruments and posting songs on MySpace, like we were just talking about MySpace. That was a time where I just wanted to put things out. I didn't care. I really, really wanted to just put things out and have any sort of reaction from other people. That was amazing to me. But then I went to college. I went to Berklee College of Music and felt extremely insecure.
Mm.
And just because I was surrounded by musicians that are way better than me and just people in general that know more about music than me. So I was super self-conscious, and that led me to almost shut down. Not shut down in terms of, not that I stopped making music, but just that fear really got, like, it really got to me. But yeah, and then years and years later, after, you know, continuing to make music, but being aware of this, there was this sort of glass ceiling for me of where that fear of failure is, I guess. Mm. This process, the Song a Day process, was me officially ridding myself of that. And I mean, not to say I don't have those fears at all anymore, but that was me ripping the Band-Aid and just saying fuck it.
Well, you'll forever have like recollection of what it felt like to like surpass those. So even a day where you're kind of feeling like stuck, you at least have the memory of 365 days where you got past that. Therefore, there's like, it's got to flip that gear on. You're almost like, you're good to go.
Yeah.
At least to an extent. And would you say that every single song that came out was something that you were proud of? Or was there days where you were like, fuck, like, I wish I didn't put that out?
Ironically, most of the time, I wasn't particularly proud of what I was making, even. I didn't think it was that good. It's just being a self-critic. I mean, there's the story of my biggest song, Mercury. That day, I literally thought it was garbage. Mm. I thought that it sucked. I thought that when I posted it, I thought that people were just going to be like, all right, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing? And then it's my biggest song by a long shot. So, I mean, there were so many days like that. I would say almost half of the days were like that, where I was posting it just being like, all right, they're about to find out that I'm the worst musician ever.
Wow. And do you kind of have this like ability to break the mind fuck in a way outside of the music aspect? Like I picture you as the kind of person who like you could be the least physical person all day. And then one day you're just like, hey, I'm going to run every day for the next year. And you just do it. That seems like the kind of person you are. It's just like this, like a wild perseverance.
Yeah. Well, and it's ironic you say running is, yeah, that's what I come from, is running. Like being an athlete. I ran a marathon a couple years ago. Like that is the mindset I've always had my whole life. That's like what my mom instilled in me or whatever. And she was a marathon runner as well. But even beyond athletics, that was just like, I think one of the most valuable things that my mom instilled in me is you always want to do, if you have the option of like, so if you have two things to do, always do the harder one first.
Mm.
Like always, you're going to feel so much better.
Yeah.
Doing, and just in general, doing things that are really difficult just make you feel good when you do that, yeah, when you've accomplished it.
It's also like, it's like this, it's like a lesson. And also like when you need to do something, do it. Don't wait. Because when, yes, you wait, there's going to be 15 more driving forces against you in that situation. And it's just like, it's something that I struggled with for a lot of my life. And now I got to the point where I'm starting to realize the effects of not doing something right away and how much harder your day gets.
Yes.
And that's what starts hitting my head first. Like that's the first thought. And like even like folding laundry, I could, yeah, leave it in the dryer for an extra hour, but then I'm going to be wearing fucking shitty looking clothing when all I had to do is spend an extra 5 minutes and get it done.
Yes. I 1000% agree. And I think that is the exact reason why I was like, I'm going to fucking do a song every day. I don't care. I don't care how hard it is, how torturous it is. Like, I'm going crazy in that fucking room every, yeah, day, like banging my head against the wall. It's like absolute torture. But I know that's how you get the good shit in life.
Yeah.
And also, I think even from a music industry standpoint, that was me taking the reins and being like, fuck all these A&Rs, all these people, all these manager people, everybody that I've dealt with in LA not fuck everybody, but just like, I'm not going to wait for other people. Like,
that's the fucking fuck key. That shit. That's the key. Man, everybody who's come in here that when they leave, my mind, the one thing that all the successful people that come in here, the people who have found their success started, is that if you wait for the right person to come to your fucking door, you're going to be sitting outside in the rain for the rest of your life. Yeah. And it's so unbelievably honest and in everybody's face. Yes, it's a weird thing that most people can't understand. It's like my dad growing up was the kind of guy where he was like, you want something, go knock on fucking doors.
Yeah.
You know, they're not knocking on yours, so you better go knock on theirs. And if they don't answer, knock again, knock again. Obviously, and I've talked about this ad nauseum on here, don't go knock on somebody's door. Don't physically go knock on somebody's door. It's a different age. But like, I mean, I have people who I message them to be on the podcast, and I have a couple people in specific who I message them, and it was like out there, very out there.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I'd love for you to come on, whatever. I gave him my pitch and they didn't answer. So I messaged them again. I go, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to be sending you a message once or twice a month until you come on here. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to hit you up every day, but I'm going to hit you up a lot. Yeah. And two of the three people have been on the podcast.
Wow.
And it was just, I think it's a massive, massive leg up when you're the one going out there to get stuff and you're not waiting for it.
I mean, yes.
Prime example.
Yeah, and I feel like it's such a common mindset, and a mindset that I had for a very long time is just feeling like there's going to be some circumstance where it's going to be easier. Yeah. And that's never going to come. There's never this magical day where somebody is going to bless you with this easy life.
Yeah.
Where your music career is just like perfect and flawless, nothing's going wrong. Like, it's always like we were talking about in the beginning and us re-recording this right now, something always goes wrong, and that's just part of it.
Yeah.
No matter how successful you are, no matter how many plaques you have, it's like that is just the reality of life in general, but especially a life that is as fulfilling as being an artist.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we talked about in the last episode that I've been just kind of thinking about a lot since then is we talked about some of the incredible people you've got the chance to work with based off of the hard work you've put in. One of those people is Logic.
Yeah.
And we talked about that on the podcast, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure.
On the secret episode that no one gets to hear.
No, they don't. Maybe one day we'll show you guys just the video.
Yeah, the raw footage, yeah.
You can read lips.
Yeah.
And you were saying that one of the incredible things about him is he's very much so still a human being.
Yeah.
He's got hard days. He's got fucking great days. He's got days where he doesn't want to wake up and days where he doesn't want to go to bed. And to me, that rang through my head nonstop. Can you kind of like just tell us about that experience and what it was like hearing from somebody that successful that it doesn't get easier, but you learn more lessons?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, first of all, Logic and I connected via TikTok. It was just a really funny, random situation. When my Steal This Idea videos first started going super viral, I think it was like the fifth one or something that he commented on, and then he commented on like eight others immediately. And then it was like, oh, Logic is following me. And then I go to his page and I'm the only person he's following. And I'm like, what is going on? And I wasn't even following him. And then I follow him back. And then there's a DM that shows up that's like, yo, what's your number? We got to talk. And then he calls me 2 minutes later. Like, it was just a whirlwind. And
it's like not enough time to even think about it.
Yeah. And what was so funny, I was in a session, like shout out to Dash. If you're watching, we were in a session and then I'm like, wait, well, I think I have to talk to Logic on the phone right now. It was funny. And, but anyway, that struck up this friendship and we ended up, we've done a bunch of music together now. And yeah, like you were saying, it amazed me how human he is able to be with how successful he is. Yeah. And his ability to just like be chill. It's like a,
yeah,
I don't know, when you think about people who are insanely successful or the people we look up to, we think about their lives being this totally separate otherworldly thing, but it's really just like
they probably had a first job.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're just people that have relationships and kids and problems and bills and all of this shit. And obviously, you know, if they have a lot of money, you know, maybe some of those things are a little bit easier, but
totally.
In general, they're still just wading through all this bullshit like we are.
It's such a wild humanizing experience, and I won't go deep on it. And we talked about it last time. My first show, I was a DJ. I won a contest. My first show I ever played, I mean, outside, like my first real show was Logic, Cruella, and Radical Something. And
crazy.
Logic was, I mean, he wasn't new to the game, but he was new to the world.
Yeah.
He was opening up for Cruella, if that says anything.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he could tell I was a little kid. I was what, probably 14, 15 years old. And he came up to me and dapped me up and gave me a hug and was like, yo, you're killing it. He didn't know who the fuck I was, but he knew that saying that would make my day a lot better.
Right.
And he went out of his way to do that. Cruella did the same thing. And they were cool as shit. I actually saw them at a show and one of the girls remembered me. I don't know if she really did, but she made it seem like she did.
That's nice. Yeah.
And it's just when people of that stature remind you that they're humans, you're humans, and you're just happen to have a moment together.
Yeah.
And they appreciate it is the most unbelievable thing in the world. And hearing how accurate that story was from 12 years ago to who he is now. It's just, thank you. It helped me fucking get the confidence to come out here and do all this.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty cool. Man.
Yeah. And I mean, and this is, I mean, obviously the music industry is a little bit different, but there was, and there's that clip of Samuel L. Jackson talking about a few times where someone will come up to him and be like, someone who's now like a huge, whatever, producer or director, and is like, oh, like, you won't remember me, but like 15 years ago, I was a PA on this set and you were so nice to me. Like, and then because of that, because Samuel L. Jackson was nice to this person 15 years ago, now he's got this crazy opportunity because this director is like the new hot shit. Like that, I think, I mean, that's a huge thing in the music industry too. It's like, it goes a long way just to be nice to people, cool and supportive.
Yeah. In the same way that what rock and roll used to be of like this hard ass sort of fucking coked out drunk dude was like the allure.
Yes.
That shit's gone. And being that kind of person, being an asshole.
Trust me, I live for the experiment, but there is one place in my life that I don't want to be an experiment. And that's when trimming my balls. Luckily, the Performance 4.0 package is here. Inside this package, you will find the Lawnmower 4.0 Trimmer, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and a new travel bag to hold all of your new favorite things. I needed the Lawnmower 4.0 so much more than I ever realized. This thing has a ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, all thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. A flashlight so I can actually see where I'm trimming. And not only that, but this thing's waterproof, so I can trim just about anywhere. I love this thing, and I love the whole 4.0 package, from the lawnmower, the weed whacker, the crop preserver, the crop reviver, and all the free gifts they threw in. Trust me, fellas, your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
It's going to go, first of all, everybody's going to know real quick. There's going to be a video or something. And if that's who you are, you're screwed in this industry because it's so easy to be nice.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's so hard to be an asshole, yet people go out of their way to do it. And like, I don't know. There's always going to be somebody that you're rude to that will eventually work harder than you.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you don't even live your life like that. Don't worry about the people you hurt because you hurt them. Worry about not hurting people in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and this is just a little a slightly petty little tidbit. Now, I won't use their name, but I think of a recent example from a couple months ago. I was in a studio, and an artist that had a very big song, probably, I don't know, 7 years, almost 10 years ago now, but only one big song, walked into this room and literally dapped up every single person except for me. Just like literally did not acknowledge that I exist. And I'm like, damn, okay, like, I mean, whatever, like, fuck me. Like, I'm just some guy in the studio. They don't know who I am. But, like, I think about that as, if that's what they're doing, that they probably treated other people in similar ways. And yeah, maybe that's part of why they only have that one big song 10 years ago and haven't had another one. Absolutely. You know,
it's so many people in this industry, their fucking response is hurt people. Yo, I had to go through this shit.
Yeah.
I had to do all that. No, bullshit. Yeah. Hurt people can help people.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think you could do. Hurt people can fucking really help, because you know what it's like to be treated the way you don't want to be treated. And it's like, I've been in studios, I won't say the name, but when I was an intern in Chicago, I was told to be a fly on the wall. Like, yeah, sit in the dark part of the room, and if I see your face, you're out. And there was these rappers in there. There was a super famous rapper, the most famous at the time, and his crew. And his crew, where you could tell they were on that, they were the assholes of the group.
Yeah.
And they would undo their blunt, and they'd put it on the floor, and they'd step on it, because they knew it was my job to clean it. And I remember Classic. Just like my heart sinking, just being like, wow, like, what did I do? And then the rapper, the dude who happened to be the famous one, looks at him, goes, you fuckers, clean that shit up. And he looks at me, he goes, hey, go grab yourself some water and enjoy yourself.
Wow.
And I was like, oh,
that's what's up.
The winners are normally pretty decent people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like you were saying, it's touch and go. There's some. That yeah. Are, but
I mean, but this is, you know, in my example, this is a person that's not doing particularly well in their career. I mean, I'm sure that money-wise they're fine, but like, no one gives a fuck about this person now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, they're not dapping me up.
Exactly.
It's like, well, what?
And I guarantee there's never going to be a kid in a room, no matter fucking how seen they are, that yeah. isn't going to get a dap from you when you walk in the room, because you're a good person and
yeah.
you know what that shit feels like. But also, if that shit does happen to you, use it, I mean, put it to utility. Like, use it as fire under your ass. Like,
yeah,
use it to go harder. And that's, that part's up to you, how you respond to that.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to be an asshole no matter what. I my first real session in Los Angeles was supposed to be, I was an intern, and it was with Machine Gun Kelly and Mod Sun. Machine Gun Kelly couldn't make it, so just Mod Sun and all of his boys came.
Mm-hmm.
And I hardly knew how to use Pro Tools at all. And his engineer didn't show up. We were Studio A at a studio I worked at, which was, you know, a whatever 50 channel, 60 channel, SSL, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And Mod goes, hey, you're going to be my engineer. And obviously I was like, fake it till you make it. But how yeah. much can you fake something you really don't know?
Right.
And I was like, dude, I don't really know what I'm doing. He goes, oh, I'll teach you. And he stood in the booth
wow.
on his song, and in between every take would teach me how to do it and be like, oh, yo, like, try this. It'll make your life so much easier. Oh, just press this. You didn't get it? Let's do it again. And was like wow. the most fucking unbelievably good person to me. And it was a huge impetus for the way that I want to treat other people now. And it's just like, that shit sticks with you.
That's amazing. That's good to hear. I mean, damn. That's...
it was...
That says a lot, because that's a pain in the ass, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was something I can't see myself... I wouldn't be a dick.
Yeah.
But like, the patience he had. And I was with him for like, I think 14 hours in a row. And the rest of the night was like the greatest night of my life. And it like wow. showed me what this industry can be like if you surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah, man.
It was badass.
Hell yeah.
Something that I wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about in the last one, which I just remembered. Can you fucking keep me up to date on what happened with you and Tesla?
Oh, man. This is a long saga. So to preface this, as I'm sure basically everyone on Earth knows at this point, Elon bought Twitter. He bought it for way too much, way more than it's worth, etc. Yeah. Terrible business choice. He was firing people, blah blah. there was a period where he made verification blue checks $8 without any system of checking who's buying it.
How do you do that?
So this, yeah, terrible decision because people like me can take advantage of it. So I'll also preface this by saying I sort of pulled, not specifically Tesla, but this impersonation thing, blue check impersonation thing, from comedians like Jabuki and Zach Fox and Brandon Wardell, like, who were doing this, especially Jabuki, like, years and years ago, and, like, getting banned.
I love Jabuki.
Like, with their real blue checks. Like, it would be Jabuki, like, pretending to be the FBI or whatever. Like, it's fucking hilarious. So, knowing that Jabuki and them had done that years ago, and I always thought that was so funny, and seeing that, just seeing the chaos when Elon was like, all right, it's $8, like, anybody can get a blue check, I was like, I need to do a fake account. Like, I need to. And right when he announced it, there was, like, somebody did the Nintendo one, and it was Mario giving everybody the finger, and it was so funny. And I forget which, well, and multiple people were impersonating Elon. But, and I remember I did a DJ gig, and like my girlfriend was with me in the booth, and I was like, yo, I think I'm going to do a fake Twitter account tomorrow. Like, I don't know what it's going to be yet. I don't know. And then the next morning I realized that no one had done Tesla yet. They had only impersonated, like, it was Elon, Nintendo, and a couple others. And I was like, I guess I'll be the Tesla one. And yeah, I just started to, I paid $8, or I made, well, so first I made the account, the fake account. I converted all of the info to make it look like it was the Tesla account, the official Tesla account. And I made the handle at Tesla Real, and I paid $8, and then it was like, okay, you have a blue check. And then I was Tesla. So I just started tweeting crazy shit. I mean, I knew that I had a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
So before I actually started it, I like, did a bunch of drafts. I probably had like 40 tweet drafts, like, ready.
That's
to
so
go.
So smart.
And yeah, and actually the most famous tweet, the World Trade Center one, that was like, it said, breaking news, second Tesla has hit the World Trade Center. That was actually written by one of my friend Dimitri Blardinelli, who is an actor, comedian, hilarious. He's in like a million commercials. Y'all have literally seen his face on TV without knowing. Shout out to Dimitri. He wrote that tweet because, like, when I decided I was going to do Tesla, I texted him and my boy, and actually his comedy partner, I texted them, like, yo, I'm trying to come up with concepts for these fake Tesla tweets. And Dimitri sent the World Trade Center one. And that was the one that, like, really, really went insane and, like, got on the news and shit. And
crazy.
I guess all of them. All right, I'll back up. It was like 7 hours of just, like, absolute pandemonium. But the first like 20 minutes, I mean, I could talk about this forever. It was insane. But the first 20 minutes, it was like no one, like, it had no followers. So it was a blank yeah. slate account. It didn't have any followers. And I posted it on my close friends on Instagram, just like praying that, like, at least, like, one of my friends would, like, go and, like, like it and maybe yeah. retweet it. And I was like, just please, like, I don't want to look like a fucking asshole idiot for, like, I don't know. I just didn't want to look stupid.
Totally.
So, but I was like, it's possible that, like, literally no one sees this. And I just, like, paid Elon $8 to make myself look like an idiot. But then I thought of responding to other tweets that were related to Tesla, or people tweeting about
Smart.
Tesla, or, yeah, just, like, journalists and whatever. And then I forget what it was. I think I either like liked or retweeted or something. The journalist Ken Klippenstein.
Yeah.
Who hates Elon and Elon hates him. They fucking hate each other. And Ken saw the fake Tesla account. He retweeted it and because he has a bunch of followers. So that's really what like kicked it off. It was probably like 20 minutes after creating the account. Holy he retweeted fuck. It and then it just like went absolutely bananas. Like it started just getting retweeted and it was insane.
Like what were the numbers on that?
I mean, it was like within an hour or so, it was like tens of thousands of likes on like every tweet.
Holy
like,
fuck.
Not every tweet, but like there were multiple tweets with like 10, 20K likes and like it was wild.
That's ridiculous.
And yeah, it was just insane. And then it was immediately like it was on like it was on Wall Street Bets on Reddit. And then there was a Snopes article like immediately. And then it was like immediately. So that night when it went crazy that night, I was like, all right, I'm going to post TikToks like explaining what just happened, like after I got banned. And then my TikTok, like I posted one TikTok, that shit did 3 million. And then an hour later, I posted another one, that shit did 2 million. Like it was fucking insane. And then like the next day, it was like every journalist is DMing me. It's like I'm getting interviewed by Newsweek and like,
holy fuck.
Yeah, Business Insider, and there were just like so many articles already about it that didn't even like even people that didn't reach out to me like were referencing it in articles like New York Times. Like
that's it was insane.
It was fucking insane. And then it culminated with like a week later, John Oliver showed like in his thing about Elon and Twitter. Literally showed and read one of my Tesla tweets on
fucking
air,
nuts,
which was bananas. Yeah,
you fucking broke then, the internet.
Yeah, it was insane. And then I released a song called Elon Musk Can Go Fuck Himself. And ironically, well, not ironically, but that was the moment that people kind of turned on me.
Because
even Elon fans like thought that the Tesla account was funny. Like even people that work at Tesla
were like, laughing about it.
Yeah, like I know a couple people that work there. It's funny because like 2 weeks before that happened, I was at a wedding in my hometown in Cleveland, and one of my like childhood friends like works for Tesla, and he was talking to me about like working for Tesla, and then 2 weeks later, I'm the guy that fucking like. Clowns the shit out of his
fought
company
Elon.
in front of the entire world.
Do you think Elon saw it?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. That's he changed the parody rules like while I was tweeting. So that
you might have caused Twitter to change the rules. You probably caused Twitter to have you probably had at least some sway on.
Yeah, I mean, I was a part of. I mean, at that point it was like there were a lot of people doing this shit. There was the Eli Lilly impersonator that actually caused the company to lose like billions and billions, which is sick. Fuck Eli Lilly. There were a bunch of, I think there was like Lockheed Martin. There were a bunch.
Holy shit.
But yeah, I mean, I get to say that I was definitely a part of it.
The ultimate protest.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fantastic.
It's funny. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just funny because of how much of a fucking loser Elon is in just that, like, the richest man in the world. Like, I shouldn't, like, some random musician from LA, like, shouldn't be able to, like, get under the skin of the richest man in the world. Like, he is a fucking bitch boy, idiot, dumbass. He's
supposed
like,
to be untouchable.
He's supposed to be, he should be fucking untouchable.
That's
but he is too, yeah, it's like, it's so fucking stupid. But that's what's so funny about it. Is like, dude, like, you're gonna let, it's like, I'm just some fucking guy. Like,
the king of tech couldn't stop his own company.
Yeah.
From getting impersonated on his platform.
Yeah. These are all just a bunch of fucking dorks, dude. Everybody,
that's amazing.
Like, yeah, and all the people, but even, yeah, people that fuck with Elon thought it was funny. But then when I put out the Elon Musk can go fuck himself song, then they started to like come out and like really come at me.
Which I don't get that part. Like, fan or not of Elon, you don't have to agree with the fact that you're saying fuck Elon in your song to not think it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know my stance on it. I've done hardly any digging on this.
Yeah.
I like the cars. I don't use Twitter ever. Never have.
Yeah.
He's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that's the greatest thing that you could have possibly done on Twitter. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, this is a larger conversation, but people, I think when it's like, okay, I'm impersonating Tesla, and people are like, okay, like, I don't agree, but it's funny. And then, but then me saying Elon Musk can go fuck himself, and then it's my song, that starts to become, for people who idolize Elon and wish they had his life and his money and all his power, that starts to become a thing that like questions their entire life and their dreams and their whole existence. So it starts questioning their identity. So then because they're
attached.
Because so then seeing some idiot on the internet causing them to question their identity, they get mad.
People need to fucking get their shrill little belief system and their fucking almost cracked ego.
Yeah.
And chill the fuck out. Wow, my voice is cracked when I say that. But for real,
yeah.
If you're that upset about somebody not liking your guy,
yeah,
chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Yeah, the richest man in the world does not need or should not need some fucking losers on the internet defending him. But he does, though, because that's his fragile little ego.
Oh, that's fucking incredible.
Yeah, fuck all of them. It's whatever. Like,
I mean, you did. First of all, that's got to be one of the fastest growing accounts from zero. Probably outside of somebody who's just coming on, who's already got the largest following ever, who just like restarts a platform, that has to be one of the largest like growth spurts.
Maybe. I mean, there's some crazy ones. Like there's a really fun, one of the craziest was like the OJ Simpson account or whatever, like the real OJ Simpson. That was like, he
that'll do it.
Yeah.
When he put people back on who were kicked off, do they get put back on with their initial following? Like when Trump got put back on. So Trump started back on with whatever million.
Yeah, 100 something million. Yeah.
See, I think the only way, if you're going to put Trump back on, which I don't fucking agree with, I think he's a piece of shit. I'm obviously, I got my ways with free speech and shit, but I think he's, yeah. I think he's a fucking loser, as most people think.
Yeah.
Make him at least start from zero. Make him work a little bit. He'll get back there, but make him work a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they basically, when they're shutting it off, they're most of the time they're just like, it's just like frozen in place,
yeah.
And it's not, so then it's just like the lights are back on. But
what a fucking whatever. Trip, dude.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, and I say this as like somebody that used to greatly admire Elon, but like
Elon can
suck a dick, dude.
He's got his
issues. Him. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I mean,
who would you take, Elon or oh my god, why am I blanking?
Bezos. On the Tesla account, I tweeted, who you got in a cage match, Elon versus Bezos.
Oh, Bezos, for sure. That dude looks swole now.
He's a lot smaller than Elon, though. But
true.
But yeah, Bezos would beat the fucking dog shit out of Elon, for sure.
UFC, can we make this happen? That would be, maybe even throw, maybe make it a three-way, them two and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, fight to the death.
Fight to the death. That'd be a fucking...
Yeah.
That, and the way the U.S. is heading, that sounds about right. Some Hunger Games type shit.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we only can keep one major company, and all the other ones have to physically fight each other.
Yeah, one gets the other company, companies, yeah.
That'd be phenomenal. Watch Elon win, and then you have to make some more fake accounts on a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least we got you. So,
yeah.
Remind us, when's your album coming out?
it comes out, my album, Zero Hit Wonder, comes out on January 20th, and the Elon Musk Can Go Fuck Himself song is on it.
Go listen. Actually. Oh, wait. It's on the
album.
Don't listen yet. You won't be able to, but you will soon.
It's out. It's out.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I reversed again. Yeah. Go listen to it right now.
Yeah. Man, that's so exciting. The Elon song is out.
That's unreal. And you're having a show as well.
Yes. I'm doing an album release show at the Moroccan Lounge.
Which is in LA. I love it there.
Yeah. It's going to be lit as hell. And it's like the first proper LA show that I've done, really.
Crazy.
I've done shows here, but this is the first I'm doing an LA show. Let's sell this bitch out.
If you haven't bought tickets, go buy tickets. If you have, buy more. Tell your friends.
That's right.
Tell your parents. Tell your parents' friends. Tell your friends' parents.
That's right.
Yeah. Tell them all. Dude, you're the fucking man. I appreciate you so much for coming back on. Hopefully you'll be coming back on many, many more times, but for different reasons.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We should do one with Kurt one day.
Let's do it.
That'd be fun. Kurt, we're coming for you.
Coming for you, dude.
Your badass old mobile or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
thank you.
Thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. Go stream it up. It'll be out. When you see this, it'll be out shortly. And to everybody listening,
I'm Connor Massara, and this is an experiment.
Yeah, baby. Bye, everybody. Thank you, brother.
The experience is the experiment.